sanje jando so je jando lo chaju ba don dan de jando je na bin je so je ba so na do la bin je sanje jo ba re jo sanje jando so je jando lo chaju ba don dan de jando je na bin je so je ba so na jando la bin je sanje jo ba re jo kangi ye ngo ba den jando ngo me ba ni de so wa yin ne ma zo me jo be me de la cha ze lo
That phenomena uniformly empty are uniformly non-empty, ultimately exist and do not ultimately exist, are just extreme and are not middle path. Therefore, the second stanza was spoken in order to refute this extreme. So, starting from the form to the omniscient mind. So uniformly empty here, I think, is more like inherent existence. So prasangika school, from the form to omniscient mind, all the phenomena are empty of inherent existence, and for the Sotantic school, from form to the omniscient mind, or the form to the 37 paths, are uniformly, or all the phenomena are exists inherently. So between the mind only school and mind only school, the only who stays in the middle, that it's emptying inherent existence, or emptying truly existent, only only to the imputational natures, other power natures that truly in inherent existence. So and all the compounded phenomena of ideation and the uncompounded phenomena of emptiness are kundo la tonyi je tomba menshing sun zin ye me tomba me ba tham je ne kundo gun de je da tonyi je du ma je so all compounded the phenomena of ideation and the uncompounded phenomena of emptiness are not empty respectively of ideation of emptiness, and are not non-empty of difference entity between apprehended object and apprehending subject. So I think it's the meaning of this from the this context is ideations is like conceptual consciousness. Other power natures are not empty by itself. Other power natures are not empty of the emptiness. That means other power natures are truly exist, and emptiness of the other power natures also truly exist. What is not it's not empty of truly existence. Other power natures and emptiness are not empty of truly existence. And what is the truly existence? What is the empty of truly existence is the difference of the entity between apprehended object and apprehending object are not truly exist. So that this explains all the mode of thought in the teaching in the Perfecting the Wisdom Sutra and so forth, of not being empty and also of not being non-empty. It's not being empty here. It's mainly talking about other power natures and the thoroughly established natures are not being empty of truly exist. So being empty is also not being non-empty here is mainly talking about the difference of apprehended object and apprehending object. objects are not being so these are not being non-empty, or this is the empty of truly exist. The meaning is not to explain, as the Chonangbas do, that the non-empty is the truly established natures, and non-empty are the other two natures. So, and Chonangpa says, I think this is more coming from the idea that is coming from here. Yuebe maybe, yuebe means is maybe just read. So, the meaning is not explained, and like Chonangpa says, Chonangpa says only the truly established natures are is a non-empty of the truly existence. Other than the truly established nature, like other power natures, imputational natures are empty of truly exist. So, not explains the Chonangpa that non-empty is the truly established nature, and the non-empty are the other two natures. There is other power natures, the imputational natures. In accordance with the explanation by the master Vasubandhu and his student Sthiramati, the existent is ideation, non-existent is duality. That is the difference of entity between object and subject. And the existent, that is the remainder, is the mutual existence of the two, ideation and emptiness. Yoban kundo meba ni nibo, yoban kundo da pinzu ni yobale inye lebenje shabadra chayis. So Vasubandhu and his students, Sthiramati and Asangas, they are in the same directions. They are talking about existence as referring to the truly existence, that is the truly existence of other power natures and emptiness, truly established nature. And non-existence here is more talking about the difference of entity between subject and object, that is not non-exist, not truly exist. And Chonampa interprets that meaning, existent, non-existence, Chonampa interprets that as to the different meaning, that is, they says, exist is only referring to the truly established natures, ultimate natures, that is only the truly exist. And other than that, other power natures, imputational natures are being exists in the face of misconceptions, that is not truly exist. So this should not be taken in accordance with the Chonangpa's explanations, which is opposite from that of these Master Vasubandhu and Sthiramati, that they assert that since according concerning this to the other power natures, and the truly established natures, one exists as the factually, and other than that, the other, they are empty of each other. Kashyapa chapters upon setting out each of the two existence, non-existent, as extreme, as say that middle between these two. So this is more Vesongi Liu. This is the chapter Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. So which is described as the middle path of individual investigation of phenomena as the middle path. Sthiramati explained that Maitri is the final line, therefore that thoroughly established natures, which is the emptiness of the distance and cutoff, object and subject, and which is the voidness of the two extreme in other part natures, and the middle path is the meaning of this statement in the Kashyapa chapter. So this is more in understanding and the middle way path, I mean middle way school is existing, not existing, non-existence. It's referring to the two extreme belief, that is, one is exaggerating an object, believing that all phenomena is truly existence, and one extreme is falling into nihilism, that is, believing everything is mere exists in the face of misconception or the mistaken mind. So abandoning or too extreme is the middle path. So this is explicitly stated in the Kashyapa's chapter. Now the middle mind only schools, hence just this mode of cognitions only is described as the meaning of the middle. Therefore, although according to the other proponents of the middle, that is the proponents of the non-natures, from the between those two, the latter, that is the middle path, as explained in the Kashyapa's chapter, is asserted to be superior to the former. That is the middle path explained in the Maitreya, the differentiations of the middle and the extreme. This mind-only system treats those two as the equivalents, the same meaning. Some after the Chonangpas, so this is the different, the master as more likely to the Chonangpa's idea. So some master says the middle so there is a two middle path is stated in Perfection Wisdom Sutra and the Sutra Unraveling the Thought. And some says some masters says the middle path that is stated in Unraveling the Thought, Sutra Unraveling the Thought, is more superior than the middle path that the stated in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. And in fact, and mind only school, this is that both the middle path are the same meaning, equivalent. So actually, Sutra Unraveling the Thought is making a commentary on the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. So it's supposed to be same meaning. How the two extreme are abandoned by the scholars following a sangha, maybe. So that's all have mentioned at virtuous points the mode of exegesis, is that right? Exegesis by the Vasubandhu and Sthiramati on how the two extremes are abandoned. Dignakas also comment on the meaning of the 8,000 stanzas, Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, this is the middle of the three perfection wisdom sutra. This is the middle one. Gedomba. Yeah. 1008 stanza perfection wisdom sutra, and in his summary meaning of the 8000 stanzas perfection wisdom sutra and agreement with Asanga's summary of the great vehicle, saying that the explanation in the perfection wisdom sutras that phenomena do not inherently exist, that is, do not exist by way of their own character, require interpretations in that key, in that they were made in consideration of imputational natures, whereas the final will of the teaching is of definitive meaning. So, Dinakas and Dharmakirti, Asangas, Vasubandhus, they are the same follower, the same belief in the mind-only systems. Say all the emptiness is established in the perfection wisdom sutra is the same idea or the same emptiness as it mentioned in the sutra unraveling the thought. So emptiness is the empty of the truly existent of difference entity between object and the subject. That is the only emptiness that is meant in Perfection of Wisdom Sutra and the Sutra Unraveling the Thought. Dignaka is the same idea. And the follower, Dignaka, is a Dharmakirti. Dharmakirti commentary on the Dignaka's compilations of the prime cognition says that there is the emptiness of the apprehended object and the apprehending subject as other substantial entities is the suchness of other power natures. This the so therefore it's like a mind only. The mind only is negating the external object or the substantial entity, substantial object that is different from the subject, emptying and understanding the only that is things that are being object. It's a mere appearance of the consciousness. So I think this is because of that is the mind-only system. So with respect to that existence of the apprehended object and apprehending subject due to the non-existence of difference of substantial entity of one of them, the both, that is the difference of the substantial entity of the both subject and subject to object and object to subject also deteriorate, that is, are refuted. Therefore, that which is the emptiness of duality of one of them is the suchness of that other one also. So deteriorating the substantially entity of the object is also deteriorating that the subject that is being substantially separate from the object. So emptying, when you empty the object that is being empty of substantially separate from the subject, and that is also emptying the subject that is substantially separate from the object. So both, if you empty one side, that is also emptying the other side. He also comment on the meaning of the statements in the sutra that phenomena are without an inherent nature, as just this emptiness of apprehended object and apprehending subject, that the productions abiding and disintegrations that characterize things abide as a different is a differentiate in a dependence upon consciousness having dualistic appearance to which those appears as a different. So ngonem thade neba na teda tela temba yin. So dip, so appearing the subject and object as a substantially separate, its dependence upon consciousness having dualistic appearance to which those appears as a different. So depends upon ignorance, that's like. So that difference, appearance of difference of entity of the subject and object is just polluted by predisposition of ignorance. Hence, their difference is also polluted, or the false, since they are not established in accordance with their appearance as external object. So both the predispositions, mental predispositions of the ignorance, and that is polluting to the consciousness, and the both conceptual and non-conceptual consciousness, making them to see the subject and object as a substantially separate. And then that is polluting to the conceptual and non-conceptual, and also and polluting the appearance of substantially different entity, different entity of the subject and object too, right? When you pollute to the conscious eye consciousness, because it's polluting to the eye consciousness, that can, because due to that the pollution or the ignorance, which makes it to see the subject and object as a exist or the as a substantially separate. So seeing substantially separate subject and object is also polluted, right? Consciousness that is polluted because it sees something, subject and object, as a substantially separate, and appearing the subject and object as a substantially separate should be polluted too, right? It's the same. It's like a okay. And the second stanza here is that aside from the aspect of apprehended object and apprehending subject, there are no defining the characters that have an otherness of entity. Aside from the aspect of apprehended object and apprehending subject, there are no defining characters that have an otherness of the entity. So whatever the subject and object that subject appears to the object appears to consciousness, there's no otherness from the subject. So whatever things that appears to you, your consciousness, so things that are not otherness or the substantially separate from the consciousness, due to the fact that defining characters are empty. So, because it's tsinyi shenyi yomanyi, tena tsinyi tombishers. So, defining characters are empty. So that means, so there is no characters that is exists. That is this. There is no character for the object that is exist or the stay substantially separate from the subject, that consciousness. The Professional Wisdom Sutra explained that phenomena are without an inherent natures. Therefore, the sutra, I mean, the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, mention or trying to establish the emptiness of inherent existence. So, non-inherent nature, that is only referring, that is the only establishing the emptiness emptiness of the difference entity of the subject and object. The distinction of the thing's production and so forth as a being different is not by way of mere self-cognizing consciousness, but is just by consciousness perceiving dualistically. So this is one of the arguments could be from the Sutra school, Suttantika school, saying that different entity and subject and object is proof by the self-cognizing consciousness that should be true as it appears to the consciousness, because the subject and object being separated. Like, for example, eye consciousness and the form is substantially separate as it appears to eye consciousness. So those are eye consciousness and the form being separated is proved by the self-cognizing consciousness through the experience of the self-cognizing consciousness. There's no need for the further kind of reason to establish. And so everything, things that are object, subject and object being separated is proved by the self-cognizing consciousness. Because when, for example, first when you see, for example, this table, first when I see this eye, through my eye consciousness, seeing this table, maybe color of this table, right, first. And the second, and I try to understand or try to see the shape or the size of this table, right? So, and then I have a memory after this. I realize there's two characters. So I could remember those two characters as a separate. That is memory to bring up bring about from the self-cognizing consciousness. That's through the experience in mind, so we can remember, so we can recall the two characters, right? Because of the self-cognizing consciousness. And my only system says, okay, first, so Suttantika school says, so there's two characters, it truly exist is proved by the self-cognizing consciousness, and the form in eye consciousness is also being proved to be substantially separate by the self-cognizing consciousness. Because self-cognizing consciousness is the witness of those object and the subject being separated. And my only system says distinction of a thing's production and so forth as a being different is not by way of mere self-cognizing consciousness, but is just by the consciousness perceiving dualistically. So from the self-cognizing consciousness, you can remember, you can recall there's two characters, subject and object, but it's not really proving that two subject and object is substantially separated. So, object and subject being substantially separated, it's how to say, out of ignorance, not from the self-cognizing consciousness. Only the self-cognizing consciousness can make you see or recall there's a two character, two subject and object. Actually, these are two, subject and object, in mind-only system, right? But proving those two as a substantially separate is not how to say, established or not enough to, there's no self-cognizing consciousness is not enough, how to say, is not being the valid reason to say subject and object are substantially separate, because I remember or I recall those two, those subject and object as a two separate, right? So whatever the separate, not necessarily to be substantially separate, because the size of the head and head is a two separate thing, but it's not substantially separated, right? Color of the cloud and the cloud is a two separate thing, because it's a in fact, and the color, a color of the cloud and cloud are not substantially separate, right? The sharpness of the knife and knife are two, so we can, how to say, express separately, we can realize separately, therefore it's separate, but it's not substantially separate, because there is no non-mistaken consciousness, unmistaken consciousness that can see those two separately. So no non-mistaken consciousness can or is seeing, and this sharpness of the knife and knife are separate. Right. There is no direct perception that can seize those two separately. And size of the head and head. No eye consciousness is seeing those two separately. But it's only a separate in the face of expression. And mentally, you can separately realize. Right? First, you can understand head, and after that, you can understand, realize the size of the head, right? And first you can see the knife, and after you can realize the sharpness of the knife. So my only system says this is not self-cognizing consciousness, not enough to prove to subject and object as a substantially separated. So having appearance of the substantially separate of two subject and object is because of the predisposition of the ignorance, consciousness perceiving dualistically. Since dualistic appearance is also polluted, that is to say, the false, what is the posited by it is also false. Ninayan lebanin zumba yinbi ti nambra shabanin zumba gyulamas. So when the subject, that is the false, that is not real, so then object or the that appears to the to the false consciousness also not true. Since dualistic appearance is also polluted, that is to say, it's a false, which is what is posited by it is also false. Perceiving subject and object dualistically is false, and appearance, having appearance of the dualistic of the subject and object, also false. Also in the aspect of the apprehended object and apprehending subject, so there also are not defining characters that are factually other. Other And furthermore, the defining characters that are appears dualistically do not exist in the in accordance with how they appear. Due to this, it is explained in the Perfection Wisdom Sutra that phenomena are without an inherent natures. So everything, there is a state in the Perfection Wisdom Sutra, whatever it says, so natureless or the not truly exist or not inherently exist, whatever it says trying to prove the emptiness is only referring to the understanding of the emptiness in the mind-only system. Now, this is the uncommon way of establishing the meaning of Perfection of the Wisdom Sutra. It's only by the mind-only system. Now, there is a both a common Sutantic school and mind-only school commonly commenting the meaning of Perfection of the Wisdom Sutra is the future of the agent and object involved in all definitions in terms of specific such as aggregates and so forth are not suchness that is established by way of their own characters. Due to this also, those Perfection Wisdom Sutra that these are devoid of characters. That is the establishment by way of their own character. So I think this is Sutantic school has a two kind of Sutantic school. One is a follower of this sutra. One is a follower of reasoning, right? So, and Pramana's has a true follower, the Sutantic school and mind-only system, mind-only school, the both. And so Sutantic school who follows the seven treatises of the Dharmakirti, so they are follower of the reasoning. They also want to make a comment on the Perfection Wisdom Sutra, which stated naturalness or not truly exist. So in the Sutantic school, they are not as the same as the mind-only system, the way they establishing the emptiness of the Perfection Wisdom Sutra, right? And Sutantic school says they are not really saying there is no substantially separate subject and object, apprehending object and apprehended object and apprehending object. So mind only school and the Sutantic school says emptying substantially separate in imputational natures, like for example we already said that, like size of the head and head are separate, but not substantially separate. And so definition of form and form itself is also, so one is defining that entity, one is the entity that defines by the definitions, from the definitions. So there's like things that are physically suitable to be form is the definition of the form, right? So then when we say that in our mind, there's the two entity. One is defining form, one is the entity that is defined by the different characters, like impermanence and momentarily changing, right? So we can say this is impermanent because it's momentarily changing, instantly changing. So instantly changing is the definition of impermanence. So in our mind, there is a two characters. One character that is defined by the other characters, that is the instant changing or the momentarily changing. And the definition that is the momentarily changing or instantly changing is defining the impermanence. So this, those entity and the definition being separate is not truly substantially separated. It's the empty of truly substantially separate. So Sotantric School want to say is, this is because of this, this is the empty of truly existent of being substantially separate and definition and entity. So this is the meaning of that meaning from the perfection of wisdom sutras, everything does not truly exist. Right. So, and my own school, we all say like here, imputation nature, there's many imputation nature, right? More gross level and the subtle level. The gross level imputation nature, like imagination of the part, and the separation, separation of subject and object, and like separation of the one and two, one and separate, and general and particular are the imputational natures. Like form is the general, table is the particular. So form and the table being separate in the sense of being one is general and one is particular. So these are two characters. It's a two separate thing. So it's not substantially separated. It's not specifically separated. Right? So being separations is form and table. Form and table is a separate thing, right? Two separate things. But not substantially separated. And size of the head and head is the separate. Those two are imputational nature, gross level imputational natures. So that can say, even the Sotantric school can realize or understand that is not truly exist. Being separate is not truly separated. Sotantric school says size of the head and head is not truly separated. These are separate but not truly separate. And Sotantric also realized that imagination of a part is not truly exist. This is so knowing that is not enough, that understanding of the meaning of emptiness, which is stated in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. So you have to go further, more understanding of that imputation label. So becoming basis of the name of the part. If you understand that is not truly exist, and then you realize the emptiness. If you realize not truly exist in the sense of substantially separate, substantial difference, and difference entity between subject and object, then you realize the emptiness. So Tantric school is not really understanding of not truly existing in the sense of difference entity between subject and object. So Tantric also do not understand that not truly exist in the sense of being basis of the name. So they could understand imagination of the part is not truly existent. They could understand size of the head and head are not truly exist, truly separated. So Sotantric school, they also want to interpret that naturalness, which is stated in Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, in their understanding of imputational nature, their understanding will not truly exist. So they also says, because of that, how to say, because of that, size of the head and head are not truly separate, and definition of form and form are not truly separate, right? There's no truly existence of this in the sense of separation between definition and the entity. There's no truly existence of being in the sense of difference, size of the head and head. So because of this, and Perfection Wisdom Sutra says everything is not truly exist. Everything is not, how to say, inherently exist. So they're interpreting that the emptiness in their, putting into their understanding, the level of understanding in terms of imputational nature. So maybe, the different schools says, Perfection Wisdom Sutra is taught by the Buddha Shakyamuni, and they all believe to whatever he said as that's the truth. Now they have to interpret that. So they cannot, accept explicitly stated in the Perfection Wisdom Sutra. Neither Suttantic school nor mine only school. Right? And they believe as the the Prasangika school. So this is taught by the Buddha Shakyamuni. And this is the, there's no mistaking in the Perfection Wisdom Sutra. Right? And there's no problem with Prasangika schools. Prasangika schools, every phenomenon is naturalist. Every phenomenon are not truly exist. As it stated, explicitly stated in the Perfection Wisdom Sutra, they can accept, they can agree on that. So mine only school, they cannot agree, they cannot accept the meaning that explicitly stated in the Perfection Wisdom Sutra. Sotantika school follow the reasoning, they also cannot accept what really stated in Perfection Wisdom Sutra. Now mine only school interpreting that meaning of naturalness, meaning of not truly exist, right? Because they have to interpret, because they already believe there is something truly exist. Other power natures, through the established natures, truly exist. So they cannot say explicitly every phenomena as not truly exist. So then what is not truly exist, and mind only system says, absence of truly exist in the sense of difference between subject and object, right? And there is the absence of truly exist in the sense of becoming basis of the name of pot, becoming basis of name of house, the person. That is not truly exist. And in this way, and Perfection Wisdom Sutra says everything is not truly exist. Everything is, naturalness. Now, Suttantika also want to say like this. Suttantika says, now they are not really the same views. They do not have same view, right? But Suttantika school says they also have their understanding of not truly existent in the very gross level imputation natures, imaginations, one and separate, and general in particular, and the definition of defining entity. So these are not truly two things. General in particular is not truly two separate things. A definition of defining entity is not truly two entity. So in this, in this way, Perfection Wisdom stated, everything is not truly exist. So, the form aggregates and so forth that are stated as a how to say definedums. I don't know, definedums, and that are suitable to be referred to and form and so forth. Definedums, okay, and definitions. So this is Chenja, in Tibetan word, Chenja, and it's definedums. So it's the entity that is the definition is defining that. Definitions defining the form. So definition of form is suitable to be form, right? Suitable things that are suitable to be form. So that is the definition of form. So the form becomes the definedums, and the suitable to be suitable to be referred to as a form and so forth, which are said stated as a definition, are all qualified by being object and agent. So impermanence is a definedums. Now it's a new vocabulary. Definedums, right? How do you pronounce this? Definendums. Define Indians.
I think the spell is wrong.
Define Indums. Define Indums. And Tibetan was there's a very it's like Tsinyi and Tsunja, right? So define indoms. Define indoms. Define indoms. So I can define indoms. Define indoms. So this is the tenja. Like for example, impermanence is the defined indoms or the defined indoms or something. And the definition of that is momentarily changing or instant changing. Right? Instant. Right? So kejima. So now so you have in your mind, or you can, so you already have a concept of impermanence. Now you want to define, or try to understand identification, right, and impermanence. So then you say something that is momentarily changing or instantly changing is impermanence. Right, so you have two entity in your mind. You said impermanence. You says momentarily changing. So momentarily changing is defining that entity impermanence. So impermanence become a definedums, right? So and momentarily changing is the definition. So and. So there's you have a definition that is the characters, or it has a function of defining the impermanence. Impermanence that you already have in your mind, but you are not really sure about the meaning of that impermanence. So definition is a defining that. So two characters, right? Two characters as a separate thing, two separate characters. One is a definedum and one is the definition. So in fact, or it's those two are not substantially separate. Those two are not truly two thing. Right. (Clears throat) Although their basis, that is their illustrations, substantially exist, or form in the viewpoint of their beings, object and agent, that is defined and mean, means of defining, defined and means of defining. 자지이신다고는 So they are not established in suchness. Thus, Dharmakirti explained that consideration of this professional wisdom sutra say that all these definitions are empty of characters. So this is also in common with Hiri schools, Sotantic school. Dharmakirti is a commentary on Dignaka's compilations of the prime cognition says, a proponent of non-nature says, all are ultimately without the capacity to perform functions. So, proponents of non-nature says, all ultimately without capacity to perform functions. Is that truly right? Answered by the proponents of true existence, the capacity to produce sprout and so forth is seen in seeds and so forth. So that is should be truly exist. We can see the potential of the capacity in the seed that has a fully potential to produce sprout. Does it truly exist? And proponents of non-nature respond that is asserted conventionally. It has a potential to produce sprout in conventional level. And answered by the proponents of the true existence, how led it to be so? If conventionally there is no true potential to give rise to sprout, how the corn seeds only produce the sprout of the corn, and flower and other weeds and has their own their own productions. It conventionally and not true, and then maybe a seed of the corn can produce the wheat, the seed of the wheat produce the corn. It's not true, right? If that is not truly exist. This makes the same point as what was stated in earlier from the Asanga's compendium that ascertainments. Fearing that detailed commentary on this would be too much, I will not write once. It's not too much. I don't think it's too much. We still need more explanations. So then, chapter 10. So we have, I think this is the last, right? So we are only finishing chapter 8 and 9.
Yeah, we're done here before. Of course, it's application.
Not finished mine only. Left mine only. Yeah, I have marked on chapter 10.
Before we skip, I think we need to be important.
Jump to 10. Somehow. I think it's
So this is, I think chapter 10 is the viewpoint in mind-only system. All the chapter 10 is talking about the emptiness and the negation elements. What is the negation elements? What is the emptiness?
Should we go over it again?
Until we understand, until we reach enlightenment. I study chapter 10 until I reach enlightenment. So Dharmakirti is first chapter of Dharmakirti, and the Pramana is for the both Sutantic school and mind-only school. So the imputational natures in the first chapters is talking about its more gross level imputational natures, and like imaginations, and one in separate, and general in particulars. So these are imputational natures which can establish as not truly exist is ideations or ideally separate. These are ideally separate, general in particular. One is ideally single, separate is ideally separate, different, and imagination is a so these are mental creations. If they and also the mind and this first chapter of the Pramana also establishing those imputation natures not truly existence in debating with non-Buddhist school. So non-Buddhist school like a Samkhya school, Rigvachama, I don't know how to say that. So those school believe that there is no mistaking in the conceptual consciousness. Only you can prove the mistaken in the wrong thought, not all the conception consciousness. So, and then Dharmakirtis start to argue with that. So if you think that the conceptual consciousness is not mistaken, there's nothing wrong with the conceptual consciousness. And like the separation of size of the head and head is conceptually or the mentally two things. It should be truly two entity. If there's a truly two entity and there's no relation, so there's no connection with two object, right? And then if there's no connection with two sides of the head and head, substantially separate, like a chair and table, and how can you use the possessive word, my head, right? My big head, my small head, my small nose. How can you say that? Because these two are substantially separated, right? So you cannot say the table's shape of the chair, right? Chairs. Size of the table is not possessive words. It's totally wrong with the sentence.
Here on the last part on this paragraph. In the Kashyapa chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the bottom here saying that
Kashyapa chapter, right?
Yeah. Just between the how the two is trained and I attended by Sukhupala and Prasanna, before that chapter. How the two stream are abandoned by Sukhupala and Prasanna. Last two chapters.
You mean last page of the nine, chapter 9?
Well, the last page of chapter 9 is the last section say how the two extremes are abandoned by school. Before that, just before that sentence.
Okay.
The system tended treated those two as equivalent. My only school treated those two as equivalent. So does that mean that my only school treated
this is talking about its idea is coming from the Kashyapa's chapter. Kashyapa has stated this middle path, right? So middle. Mm-hmm. It's abandoning to extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And because existence and non-existence is purifies or refuting true extreme, abandoning true extreme and proving or establishing the middle path. And now, and for that kind of, in that concept, in that idea of abandoning true extreme and going into middle path, and existent and non-existent coming out from the two words, right? And Lama Tsongkhapa is mentioning that when you talk about when you try to interpret the meaning and the words in sutra, Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, existent and non-existence, Kashyapa chapter, this is existent and non-existent, abandoning two extreme and going into the middle path. And Chonangpa says, so just interpreting the word existent and non-existence, Chonangpa is trying to prove that only the ultimate natures, ultimate truth, is that truly exist. So exist referring to the only the ultimate natures, and non-existence referring to the other pure natures, imputation of natures. And some other master, they says, oh, existent, non-existence, and the concept of being middle, and there's a true middle, and middle middle from the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, the middle path, mentioned in Sutra Unraveling the Thought, so two middle path. And some dead master, they're saying, so the middle path, which mentioned in the Sutra Unraveling Thought, is more superior than the middle path that is mentioned in Perfection Wisdom Sutra. So Lama Tsongkhapa is indicating this, those masters not understanding about the meaning of the meaning from the text. So, and Lama Tsongkhapa says, and in the mind only system, the middle path in Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, middle path in Sutra Unraveling Thought should be the same meaning. You cannot interpret them differently. One is superior and one is inferior. Right. And in Tibet there were many kind of, I think this is there are some historically kind of criticizing on some first I started from the Chonungpa, and after that one of the Karmapa Migyudoje, he also follows that almost like a Chonungpa. And some scholar says, after second Dalai Lama passed away, and in Tibet, and there's a traditions are more like a appears as a competing, the traditions are competing, and then Gelug is more, and how to say, more noticeable competing to tradition is it Sakya and Gelug, right? And so so when the second Dalai Lama was alive, and Gelug's traditions more respected than the Sakya traditions, after second Dalai Lama passed away, and Sakya's traditions are more respected than the Gelug traditions, and there is one Kamapa Mijidoji, one of the Kamapa, and he has a very kind of strong devotion or very inner faith into Lama Tsongkhapa, and he wants to make the Gelug traditions as more kind of more respectful or something. So then he make some notes about the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, which is interpreted and a little bit misinterpreted, and he want to one of the great master in Gelug tradition, like Jizun Shui Jianzi, and he gave this text to correct this. So yeah, and then Jizun Shui Jianzhen, so he did some correction and made some argument on that text, and he just kind of, so Jizun Shui Jianzhen was like, I think he's trying to make him more the popular or the famous in Tibet. So when he make a comment or the correction on the Kamapa Mijidoji, Kamapa Mijidoji was very popular or the famous in Tibet, right, at the time. And someone, Gelug master, and he, rose as a kind of making an objection to the Kamapa Mijidoji. And then that text mentioned almost the same as Chonangpa's idea. I think some people believe he intentionally kind of make this commentary for the Gelug tradition in order to get more respect. So yeah, there are some masters who is believing that is Perfection of Wisdom Sutra as middle path or emptiness, and Sutra Unraveling Thought emptiness is it's totally two directions, two separate idea, two separate meaning. And those masters say like this, and they have more faith, they are more believing in Sutra Unraveling Thought. And Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, the emptiness is almost the same, it's more like a prasangika school. So they feel it's going towards falling into nihilism. The first master is a Chonangpa. Existing, non-existing, interpreting on that, and the second masters that is not really very obvious. Some are still like Kamapa Mijidoji, and he made some comment on that, and this Perfection of Wisdom Sutra and Sutra Unraveling Thought, a totally two viewpoint, true meaning of the emptiness. So Lama Tsongkhapa says, if you are following the middle path, and then Sutra Unraveling Thought, and Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, you can see the two different idea, two different understanding level of the emptiness. If you following the and the mind only systems, and there is no difference, the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra and the Sutra Unraveling Thought has no different meanings on, in emptiness, in the sense of emptiness. The mind only school, if you follow the Prasangika school, there is a different meaning from the two sutra. So Prasangika school would say, they would say, Sutra Unraveling Thought, the managing the emptiness, is there is no mistake, but it's not more, I mean, this is the final, the settled nature of the emptiness. This is more grosser level of the emptiness, which someone who are not, not yet to ripen their mind to understand the perfect, complete emptiness and Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. So those, for those bodhisattva who are not ready to understand the profound meaning of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, for those people or for those disciples, and Buddha Shakyamuni, mentioned the mind only systems, the viewpoint of emptiness. So there's a true emptiness. From the perspective of the Prasangika school, there's a true emptiness. From the perspective of the mind only system, there's no true emptiness.
Someone had said that maybe the unraveling thought was a commentary on the Perfection of Wisdom.
Yes, yes, this is the commentary, yeah. Chapter
12.
Yeah, this is most complicated. yeah. So this is very important because because of misinterpretation and Professional Wisdom Sutra, as actually it's almost this, you can see this. Buddha Shakyamuni has mentioned same mind-only systems, the emptiness, and Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. There's some chapter, it's the same vocabulary, same term that is coming from the Sutra Unraveling Thought. So some people, some masters, thinks that the emptiness, even in Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, should be same meaning, same idea of the Sutra Unraveling Thought. So it's Perfection of Wisdom Sutra itself. So one chapter of that explicitly uses the term that the same as mind only system uses the term, the vocabularies. Imputational natures, other power natures, thoroughly established natures. So Lama Tsongkhapa is trying to clarifying that misinterpretation of that. Professional Wisdom Sutra did not mention the same idea which, idea which is explicitly mentioned in Sutra and Ravana thought.
Emptiness is emptiness of distance of the apprehending object and subject. Emptiness is empty of distance
yeah.
or cut off of apprehending.
Apprehending and yeah. Apprehended object and apprehending subject.
And then the other emptiness, you said there were two emptinesses from middle way prasangika perspective. And between these two texts. So the other one is emptiness of external object, and they only in mind only maybe they take only appearing object. And no, maybe that's not mine. Maybe my notes aren't very good. The external object
is the empty or truly existent. Truly exist in separation and your node and your mind. So I think so emptiness and for the mind only system, from the mind only perspective view, there is no true emptiness from the perfection of Wisdom Sutra and Sutra and the Unraveling Thought. So both has to be proving or establishing one emptiness, right? And from the middle way perspective, there is a true emptiness. One is more gross level emptiness, right? One is more the final, the subtle nature of the emptiness, so which is mentioned in Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. And also in within the mind only system, and they also believe there's a true emptiness, but there's no how is the grosser and subtle, because emptiness that is the absence of being separate subject and object, emptiness of truly existent. In the sense of being basis of the name, so true emptiness, right? Emptying the external is the first emptiness, that is emptiness in the sense of difference entity between a subject and object, right? So within the one chapter of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, I think it's Vesung Liuya. This is a Kashyapa's Liuya. It uses like other power natures and imputation natures and thoroughly established natures, and they also it also mentioning that emptiness form and emptiness emptiness form and emptiness imputation and natures, emptiness thoroughly established natures. Sometimes they say it's like and so when it seems like and the surface is like a emptiness is emptiness of emptiness of other power being other power being imputation in natures. That means they're emptying other power natures, emptying the truly existing of other power natures in the sense of being basis of the name, almost in the surfaces like that. So then many masters had a kind of doubt or the qualm, worry. So that means, oh, this is almost the same as the mind only system. So even the My Professional Wisdom Sutra, one chapter of that. So then maybe they think, oh, Sutra Unraveling Thought is the final thought of the Buddha. Perfection of Wisdom Sutra is not the final one. So there is a truly exist. Everything is not absence of truly existence. Everything is not absence of inherent existence.
Also,
so when you
so
you cannot define the pot by understanding the pot. Pot is not the definition. It's not really defining the pot, right? So impermanence. When you say, what is the meaning of impermanence? What is the impermanence? And you said impermanence is impermanence. It's not really defining the impermanence. So momentarily, you have to say the momentarily changing. So then, so momentarily, understanding the momentarily changing itself is the one character that defines impermanence. And then you have a two character in your mind. One defines each other, right? In reality, non-mistaken consciousness can see impermanence and momentarily changing as a separate thing, two entity, right? There's no truly true entity. There's no truly true character, right? So, and Sotantic school says, the naturalness means a naturalness of truly exist, naturalness of true, I mean, truly two separate thing. And definition and define them, yeah.
They have it so narrow. Just
so which one?
I mean, Sutantika.
Uh-huh.
The definition of interpretation, professional wisdom.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. This is every imagination of everything, phenomena, are not truly existence. Therefore, Professional Wisdom Sutra says everything is naturalness.
So actually, this last chapter here is talking about Sutantika.
So Lama Tsongkhapa says, from the Dharmakirti's text, whereas there's a true follower, mind-only system and Sutantika school. So they both can commonly make a comment on the naturalness in terms of knowing the imagination as not truly existence. So they both can agree on that, right? So in that case, there is the Sotantic school, following the reasoning is believing there's a great vehicles, Mahayana, Lism or the Mahayana things. Vaibhashika school, some Vaibhashika school, the follower of the Vaibhashika school, the Suttantika school who follow the Sutra, they always think that the great vehicle, the Mahayana, is not exist, not taught by Buddha. And I think starting from Nagarjuna, Asanga, in their texts, they try to the proof the great vehicle or the Mahayana concept as taught by Buddha. Right. So everything their understanding with their path is more observing on the Four Noble Truths, right? And that Mahayana's the understanding of Four Noble Truths are much more profound than the Four Noble Truths that understanding in Vaibhashika school and the Suttantika school. More subtle, right? More profound. And yeah, some of those the Hiri school and Vaibhashika school, this is, and in the Mahayana, there's some impossible or the unbelievable things that mention in Mahayana texts, like treasury and the space, and the purifications, the purifying by taking a washing their body in Ganga's river. And Nyungne. So those are exactly the same as a Hindu. So this is mentioned in Mahayana Sutra, Mahayana text. Therefore, this Mahayana text is not taught by the Buddha. And Nagarjuna's, he responded to the question, says, Ganga River has a potential, has a kind of to purify the physical and some negativities in the physical level, because is it due to the dedication, the great dedication from the one of the great Bodhisattva who lives in Ganga River, is a Naga, so who is the one the main disciple of the Buddha Shakyamuni, so he dedicate to Ganga River, whoever comes to Ganga River to wash their body, and that purifies the negativities. And that is from that, so when you do the empowerment, obviously the empowerment of what do you call that? Shuwang. Water empowerment. First, we visualize the water is non-dualistic or non-separate from the Ganga's water. But we always say that.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. So they that believing in the Ganga River. Yeah, Ganga water has the power to purify the negativities, obstacles. So Nyune is not only the fasting, not Nyune practice is not only not eating is not the main part is practicing the renunciations, compassions, and meditating on emptiness. Those are included in that practice. Therefore, it has the power to purify the negativities, obstacles. It's a Mahayana. Yeah, it's taught by Buddha. Right. And then you. Yeah. Yes.
So what in the following chapters, 2, 3, 4, then he starts establishing
school? Absolute mind on in the school, yeah. School. Yes. There is a first chapter right after the mind-only system, a general middle way, some pages, and that is more in a Prasangic school. And then he go on talking about middle way autonomous schools for some pages. And then more, I think it's half of this essence of eloquence is talking about the Prasangic school.
Using
which book?
The Buddha's book.
Yes, the Perfection Wisdom Sutra. And the main the quotation from the Buddha Palita, Chandikriti, and Nagabodhi, and Ayadeva. So essence of eloquence is more than half, half of this, the Prasangic school. So first maybe starting from mind only school and middle way autonomous school and general understanding of middle way and then Prasangic school. And then it makes more kind of clear that the Prasangic school is something different from those schools. In the Chandrakirti text, he really the proudly that meant. I think it's like you could say the proudly mentioned that he said, "My understanding or my viewpoint in the middle of the school is something that is very uncommon from Bhavavivek and Chandrakirti, Dharmakirti, not Chandrakirti, Dharmakirti, and." I would say Dignakas, and his commentary on that text, he also obviously named those Dharmakirti and Dignakas. So Dharmakirti, even the very sharp-minded or great master Dharmakirti and Dignakas. Still do not understand this viewpoint. Chandrakirti, yeah. And therefore, he is very uncommon. And he is the only one who can milk the draw cow. Drawing cow, right? Drawn cow. Chandrakirti. Chandrakirti, yeah. No, Nagarjuna. Yeah. Chandrakirti, yeah. Chandrakirti. Not Nagarjuna.
But Nankachula is a great master of Nalanda, right?
Yeah, Nalanda, yeah.
At least that part.
Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, Shantideva, all from Nalanda, yeah. Okay. Shivala.
Jangjusim